This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
We love him. We supply him. And here he is, the great Mel Kiper Jr. Hi, Mel. How are you?
You guys never let me down. Thank you so much. That team comes incredibly packaged, the whipped creams. I mean, they could have lasted 3 months out there if I would have forgotten about them. And I've got like two or three cans left, and they were phenomenal. I really appreciate it, guys.
All right, so here's the question. How many cans did you receive, and now you're down to two or three?
I didn't count them. It looked like around 12 in there, and I'm down to two. So I'm going through like one a day, just about.
It freaks me out that you go through a can of whipped cream a day.
I know. I can go about it through a can of whipped cream with just a couple pieces of pumpkin pie. So it's pretty crazy. My daughter, Lauren, doesn't appreciate that, doesn't like it, thinks it's crazy for me to do that. But, hey, at this stage of my life, come on, guys. Am I changing? No.
No, you really. And why would you? I guess would be the question. Why would you at this point?
So, I hear you.
Just to let you know, we have a little battle. See, Rick does the packaging. Rick does the sending. Rick really does everything. And they think I'm incapable and incompetent. The next shipment I'm going to send, I hope that it's wrapped as beautifully as the one that you just received from Rick.
It was spectacular, yeah. Rick. I mean, it's amazing. I don't know how much time you spend on that, but whoever does it, whoever you help out with it, that should be a business in and on itself for you.
Mel, listen, whatever I can do to take care of you and help your greatness, but I'm at the point now, I walk in, they see me, they say, Mel, I say, yep. They go, whipped cream. I said, yep, no problem.
All I can say is, guys, just keep it coming. I appreciate it.
Oh, wait, listen, you keep joining us, you're going to get your whipped cream fix consistently.
I do this on a daily basis. Are you kidding me? This will be like a regular thing if you keep the whipped cream keeps coming. That's all right. I need. But anyway, we got the Mach 3.0 out today, guys.
Yeah, we do. Now, C.J. Stroud won to the Panthers. Firstly, how strongly do you feel that he's going to go one? And secondly, how strongly do you feel the Panthers stay in that pick? Because I've heard rumblings that they could trade back because there's a couple of quarterbacks they like.
There are, and that's the thing, we just don't know. And I didn't want to do that. I went one trade, not two or three trades, to really distort the top part of the first round. But, yeah, it could move down. If somebody wants to, if Indianapolis wants to go up and they feel comfortable that they can get one of those quarterbacks, that's a risky move, though. If you go down to four, it's a risky move unless you go to two. Because if you go to two, you know you're getting, you know, one of those guys that you really like. If you got two together, you go past that, you lose them. So I don't see a big trade down. You went up there to get the quarterback that you hand pick. Now you have to worry, if we got two guys, not three. Now if you have three rated ranked together, then you feel comfortable dropping down just a bit. But it's tricky. You better get this right if you're Carolina. You gave up a lot to go to number one. If you have conviction about one quarterback, you take him at one. If you have conviction about two and you just don't care, move down to two. Let Houston get their guy.
Yeah, Mel, when Carolina moved up, I know it was Dan Orlovsky, there's a bunch of people that said to themselves, is this move for Richardson? But you got C.J. Stroud. Is that, I mean, that seems risky for Frank Reich, first year in Carolina, to jump up the way they did and maybe risk. Because Richardson is kind of a project as opposed to the other two at the top.
And he's not the super accurate passer. And, right now he's not. Maybe he will be. I mean, there's no question. You can work with a quarterback. You can change some things mechanically. And he had 1 year as a starter at Florida, but he misses layups. He misses those easy throws that go right, go left, are bouncing into the ground. I mean, he doesn't always see the field and then pick out the receiver and do the maximum with the football after the catch. So those are things he needs time. He needs to work. He had 1 year as a starter. He just didn't benefit from a lot of experience at the collegiate level. So for me, he's the raw developmental quarterback that I think would be perfect in Seattle with Geno Smith there, not in Carolina. So I think it would get down to Stroud or Levis or Young, one of those three. If he doesn't care about Young's size, and you go with Young. But over the years, he has cared about that, Frank Reich. So and Bryce Young is the ultimate outlier, and normally you don't do that at number one. So it's going to be really interesting, guys. Matt Miller was talking about this with me on the radio on the Daria and Mel show Saturday, how nobody knows right now. And that's the fun of this. That's the entertainment value of this part of the draft, where right now nobody knows where these quarterbacks are going to go in terms of the – we know they're going to go high, but to what team? That's the mystery right now. And by the way, guys, private workouts for quarterbacks, tremendously important, more so than pro days. So these pro days are fine. They'll be coming up over, you know, tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, and, of course, next week for Richardson. But those private workouts are, I think, the ultimate determining factor as to what quarterback goes where.
So Mel Kiper Jr. with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Mel, I'm looking at your mock draft right now. You have four quarterbacks going in the first five picks. I mean, is that realistic to think that you're going to get four quarterbacks taken that early? I guess teams reach for these guys, don't they? That if they see the potential there, they'll desperately try to get that guy because it's just that important of a position.
Well, it just falls right this year where historically we haven't had it, but now all of a sudden you got teams up there that need a quarterback. You say, well, Seattle's got Geno. Geno had one great year. Can he do it over a 2-3-4-5 year period? We don't know. And you have Anthony Richardson developing behind him. It's a win-win. If he keeps playing great, you're happy. But Richardson is going to be the guy who can wait in the wings. Keep in mind, Joe Flacco had won a Super Bowl. The Ravens still drafted Lamar Jackson. Alex Smith had played really good football. She still drafted Patrick Mahomes. And we can go on and on back into history about things that have been done with the quarterback position with somebody already in place. I just think if it falls the right way for the teams, and the quarterbacks are rated that high. I mean, all four of these guys have a really high grade. We're still trying to figure out who the number one quarterback is. If you talk to five different teams, you get five different orders in terms of these top four. So that's why I think the quarterbacks are going to go high, because they deserve to go that high based on talent and based on ability and how they played in college.
Mel Kiper joins us here on the show. Mel, Jalen Carter, dealing with a bunch of off-the-field stuff. I mean, I think in the 2.0, you actually had him dropping out of the top 10. Here you got him going sixth of the lines. What are you hearing about him?
I don't think it's going to be that significant a drop at all. Maybe not, you know, to five. The Seattle could happen if they don't take the quarterback. You have really every team, guys, between 5 and 10 where Philadelphia is picking could use a Jalen Carter, who still is the best football player in this draft. So I don't think he gets past 10 with the Eagles. They always invest in O-line and D-line, and they need a guy like that. To me, Chicago at 9 would be a perfect spot. You look at the Raiders at 7, Detroit at 6, where I have him going. If Seattle, as I say, doesn't take the quarterback, they could take him. So, yeah, just about anybody 5 to 10 could, and you got to believe one of those teams will, take the best player in the draft at a bargain point if he can obviously, focus on football, and obviously the off-the-field concerns are there. You have to weigh through that, do your due diligence. But, I think he goes between 5 and 10.
All right, Mel, a couple weeks back you told us that this draft is, I'll say not great, to use the term loosely, because I think you're a lot stronger than that. But what positions are there of strength in this draft, and what positions are there a lack of talent in this draft?
Well, I think the strength and then every other position would be just so-so. I think you look at the tight end position. There's a lot of good tight ends. So don't panic if your team, like, say, Dallas or Cincinnati, doesn't get a tight end in the first round. They could get one, certainly second or third round. Cornerback. Teams need four cover guys in that secondary, four corners. You can go 25 deep on corners that will play in the league in some role, some capacity, will make a team and contribute. So the cornerback spot and the tight end spot are very, very deep and very, very strong. Just about every other spot is very, very, very average or below average in terms of the draft.
Mel, a lot of talk now. So the Aaron Rodgers thing, intention is he's going to come play for the Jets. And now I don't know what the compensation they're haggling over is about, if it's the 13th pick or not. But there are some people that say, listen, you're getting Aaron Rodgers, give up the 13th pick. I say, no way I'm giving up that 13th pick. We got to address the offensive line. Guy, you get a 13. You got Broderick Jones going from Georgia. But whoever you get a 13 offensive line, is that crucial for the Jets to make that pick to give themselves the best chance, or would you be okay with them trading that pick?
I think they want the key. They want that pick. That offensive lineman is so important to Aaron Rodgers, basically. You know, to have success, you need the O-line, and that's a big question mark. Of all the positions on that team, you go to the O-line as the one iffy spot. Everything else looks really good. Breece Hall comes back. You got a big-time running back. I mean, you know what you have at wide receiver. You know what you have in terms of the defensive side of the ball. I mean, come on. I mean, this is a team that the O-line comes together, and the only way it's going to come together is add some more talent, fortify it with some more talent. And at 13, Broderick Jones, Paris Johnson Jr. from Ohio State, Anton Harris in Oklahoma, maybe on a trade down from 13. This gives them, if they keep 13 guys, it gives them maneuverability. They could move off of 13 and move down and still get a pretty good tackle. You know, Darnell Wright, the right tackle, I'm going 19. Broderick Jones could drop further than 13 and be there around 20. So the Jets, I think that 13th pick is a critical piece of this puzzle that the Jets just don't want to give up. And I think Green Bay saying, okay, next year's first could be between 25 and 32. That's not going to be a 13th pick. That's why Green Bay says, hey, next year's number one is going to be more like an early two, whereas the 13th pick is really valuable considering they also picked, the Packers do at pick number 15 this year.
All right, so I know you're the draft expert insider, but you're also a really smart football guy. What do you think happens with this Aaron Rodgers trade? You think it's done before the draft on April 27th and they actually have compensation they can use in this draft, or does it get pushed back to the offseason even more so and into next year's draft?
I don't know. That's a Chris Mortensen, Adam Schefter deal. I don't know. I think it would get done. I mean, obviously, at the 13th pick, if you're saying, okay, we're not giving that up, if the Jets hold to that and we're not parting with the 13th pick, then you got to say, okay, what are you giving? What are you going to give to make up for that? Is it going to be a player? Is it going to be a combination of picks? Is it going to be a one next year? Is it going to be a two this year and a one next year and add another pick or a player? Some combination of players and picks has to be worked out. I got to believe that the deal will be done by the draft, but that 13th pick, and I said this earlier, you know, I said this weeks ago, that 13th pick is critical because you get Aaron Rodgers without the offensive lineman at 13 or wherever they're picking when a trade down, that's out of the equation. So now you got Aaron Rodgers with a very iffy offensive line, which, you know, isn't what you want.
Mel Kiper joins us here on the show. Mel, was there one player that you have in the first round that you had a hard time really placing in the draft, like they could go higher, could go lower, but you really didn't know?
Yeah, Nolan Smith, a linebacker from Georgia, who had a great workout, had the pectoral injury this year, a solid career, not a great pass rusher, but he tested so well. He's a guy super smart. I think he can be the centerpiece of the Houston Texans defense. If you get Bryce Young at two, your leader on offense and your franchise, your cornerstone piece, then you get a guy like Nolan Smith, who I think D'Amico Ryans will see as, when he looks in that mirror, says, okay, I see Nolan Smith being like I was at the pro level. That kind of leader, that smart guy who can just coordinate everything, be an extension of your defensive coordinator on the field. So I gave Nolan Smith to Houston at 12. After that, I couldn't find a spot, so that's why I gave him there. And Adetamiwa Adebare, the defensive lineman from Northwestern, who ran a 4.49 at the combine, guys, I thought about putting him up at 10 to Philadelphia or, you know, in that 17, 18 area. I gave him late in the first round. I gave him to Dallas. But he's a guy, I'll tell you what, he could soar up the board by the time we get to late April. He's already in the first round, solid. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes even higher than where I projected him in Mock 3.0.
This is Mel Kiper Jr. joining us here, 98.7 ESPN, DiPietro and Rothenberg. So, a couple things with the Giants. You have him going Jordan Addison, receiver out of USC with 25th overall. Do you think if they were to sign Beckham, that would adjust what you expect them to do? And secondly, give us a little insight on the receiver from USC.
Yeah, Jordan Addison is a guy who does it, you know, did it and has proven himself at two different programs. He did it at Pitt. Mark Whipple coordinated that offense with Kenny Pickett, and Jordan Addison was dynamic. He goes out with Lincoln Riley at USC with Caleb Williams, who could be the number one pick or should be the number one pick in the draft next year, and he lights it up again. So here's a guy who's got some versatility, slot and wide, really good hands, smooth after the catch. He's a nice player. Now, he didn't run great in test grade at the combine, but he played well, so you got to weigh that in. You talk about mixed opinion, guys. One of these four receivers, that would be Jackson Smith and Jigba from Ohio State, Jordan Addison from USC, Quentin Johnston from TCU, and Zay Flowers from Boston College. People have completely different views on all four. And that's why, you know, you can interchange all four anywhere you want between, say, pick number 20 all the way down to the end of the first round. So the Giants at 25, I think we'll see maybe one, certainly one of the four still there, and maybe two of the four still there.
So, Mel, let me ask you this, because, I mean, you know how much we love you. If the Giants had their pick of the receivers you just mentioned, knowing, you know, Daniel Jones in his game, which one would you pick for them?
Well, it depends what you want. Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to run, evidently, in his pro day this week. He tested really well at the combine. He didn't play this year much because of the hamstring. He had a great year in 2021. So, yeah, people are waiting to see what that 40 is for Jackson Smith and Jigba. Quentin Johnston is a guy, you watch him physically, so imposing, but he had some drops. He really feels comfortable, Johnston does, body catching. And that can work in college when the windows are huge. In the NFL, you can't do it. So he's going to have to change his mode of operation just a bit in the National Football League. As I say, Addison didn't test great, but how did you play with the pads on? He played really well, and I love Zay Flowers. I mean, Zay Flowers is electric. He's dynamic. He loves to play the game. He's a great, great worker. You know, Hathley had nothing but phenomenal things to say about him throughout the time he was at Boston College. I think you look at Flowers, you got to look at things slot and wide, okay? Do you want the slot guy? Do you want the wide out? Do you want the guy that has the versatility to do both? I rank them this way, guys. I want Flowers. Bowers, one. Jackson Smith and Jigba, two. Jordan Addison, three. And Quentin Johnston, four. And that order is certainly very interchangeable. I stuck with Flowers, as I said about a month and a half ago. I love the kid. I'm going to put lock him in at one. I had said back in August that, you know, that Smith and Jigba was worthy of a top 10 pick. He doesn't play. I can't drop him much, so I put him at two. And then I went the big physically imposing guy who, if he would have been more consistent, I'd had him at one or two. I put him at four, and I put Addison in there at three with basically the same grade as two. So, you know, figure it all out, guys. All four are good. All four are going to have to be determined by the team drafting who fits us the best. Do you want the slot guy? Do you want the wide out? What do you want? Or do you want a guy who can maybe do both? And I think Smith and Jigba's 40 is going to be important late this week.
All right, Mel, listen, we appreciate you as always. Thanks for all the insight and all the information. Next week, are you going to need more whipped cream next week or the week following, do you think?
You can wait a little bit on that. You know, it's all up to you guys. I just like to be surprised.
So, well, what do you need? We want to draft for need. What do you need? Do you need whipped cream, you think, starting on Monday, or can you push it back to the following week?
That's one need that you never fill. Okay, you get a little brief respite from a need for a couple of weeks, and then the need crops up again. So for me, guys, I'm down to two cans.
Okay, so you need whipped cream.
Figure it out. Yeah, figure it out.
You need whipped cream is what you're saying.
Shock me, surprise me. I always like that. So we do whatever you got to do.
Very good. Mel, we appreciate you. Thanks so much, as always.
You guys are the best. Take care, man. Have a great week.
All right, there you have it. That is Mel Kiper Jr. You won the interview, not with your questions, just the fact of he's just gushing over the packaging of the whipped cream.
I packaged the hell out of it. I've learned from my mistakes.
Which makes me terrified.
How about this?
No, because you. No, here's the. You
no,
guys
no,
don't think
no.
I can do it.
Stop it.
Okay.
I now think you can do it because I'm of the mindset that anything you put your mind to, just because you're so freaking stubborn,
yes,
you'll be able to do.
Right.
Reality of the situation is I have all the stuff here already. I bought an extra bag. I got the extra ice. They know me when I walk in. So I will continue to take care of the whipped cream. But I appreciate the offer. How about that? And I think we got to judge this the right way, because the last thing we want to do is turn off Mel's wife and daughter by sending him too much. And now all of a sudden it's just out of control.
And if he becomes heavy.
No, it's fat free.
Yeah, but
that's why
still,
he does the fat free, because he abuses it.
I mean, I don't understand how he could go through a can a day.
Because he has whipped cream with some pumpkin pie. It's not pumpkin pie with a little whipped cream. It's whipped cream with a little pumpkin pie.
Yeah, but a can of it?
Destroys
daily?
It.
Daily?
It's delicious.
Wouldn't you think he wouldn't feel well?
He eats pumpkin pie for breakfast. I don't know. I mean, he's just special.
Yeah, he really is. He's a special
guy
individual.
Guy knows everything.
The guy, he is so entertaining. So what did you, as far as the draft-wise, pick up from that? Quarterbacks seem like almost interchangeable, right? Richardson, in his mind, clearly four. Levis, probably three. Stroud, Young, you could flip-flop on that all day long.
Here's what's interesting. So, I mean, and the reason why I asked that question is because initially when Carolina moved up, a bunch of people, including Dan Orlovsky, who watches all the tape and everything else, said, you know, Anthony Richardson, because he's a freak athlete and everything else. And then I was looking through some stuff yesterday, and Chris Sims, who I value his opinion because he puts in a ton of work, he said C.J. Stroud. And then, because I just get as much information as I can, T.J. Houshmandzadeh, I listened to him yesterday, and he made the point that, you know, size, that, I mean, that's clear. You can see that with your eyes. But he said about Bryce Young is his temperament, you can put him anywhere. C.J. Stroud, a little bit more fiery, would kind of need the right spot. So he thought that size, skill set, what you saw at the combine, and just knowing Frank Reich, that he could see C.J. going first. And then Bryce Young would be good anywhere. But
and he goes to Houston.
It didn't sound like he was overly concerned about the size, but I think there are people who are concerned about the size.
Now, Mike Tenenbaum loves Bryce Young, like absolutely gushes about him every time
about
him.
Here's what he said, though. He said the biggest difference between Bryce Young and everyone else is it's one thing when you go into a room and they say, you know, put whatever play on the board and you can explain it on a whiteboard. It's another thing when all of a sudden blitz is coming and you have to process the information. And he said there's no one better than Bryce Young at doing that.
Correct. So let's just run through it. If you haven't seen or read it yet, it just came out earlier today. Mel's mock draft 3.0. How many does he do? Like five, six?
Too many.
Too many. He has a couple more coming. C.J. Stroud, top overall pick to Carolina. Bryce Young, second to Houston. He has a projected trade that the Colts will move up to third and take Will Levis out of Kentucky. Arizona will move down to four and take Will Anderson, who I've been reading lately is, I don't want to say a clone because that's not fair, but similarities to Khalil Mack, just to give you an idea. Five, Anthony Richardson to Seattle. Six, Jalen Carter. And Mel says to the Lions, Mel says he has not dropped as much as a lot of people anticipate. Seven, Christian Gonzalez, cornerback to the Raiders from Oregon. I'll do the top 10. Eight, Falcons, Devin Witherspoon, cornerback from Illinois. Nine, and this is where the Bears have traded back to, Paris Johnson, offensive lineman from Ohio State. And 10 would be the offensive lineman from Northwestern in a pick the Eagles got from the Saints. That'd be Peter Skoronski. And then he has your Jets going Broderick Jones, offensive lineman out of Georgia. And he has the Giants going Jordan Addison, 25th. But the two things to keep in mind, the point that he makes, interesting. Tight end, cornerback. A lot of depth with both in this draft. Other than that, it's not a great draft.
But I think it depends. I mean, you can say that, but I think it also depends. I mean, if you get guys that you don't think, like on you have seen on tape or whatever, and you don't have high grades on, maybe you put them in the right spot with the right coaching that maybe, you know, maybe they turn themselves into good players.
Well, listen, there are going to be guys that Mel thinks and we all think and McShay thinks are going to be great that are not, and vice versa. This is the definition of a crapshoot.
Yeah, a lot of it's fit. Right? I mean, that's why the quarterback position is such a crapshoot.
Absolutely it is.
But I'll tell you my biggest takeaway outside of what we just talked about was how important the 13th pick is. For all the people that are just like willy-nilly, it doesn't matter.
Right, just throw that in.
Yeah, just throw it
in. It's enormous because look at the offensive line if you're the Jets. It's not very good.
There's some question marks.
And it's not like Aaron Rodgers is, you know, Jalen Hurts or Daniel Jones or a quarterback that's going to run all over the place. He needs a somewhat clean pocket to be able to be good.
Oh, he can create. Listen, he can create time, but I mean, at his age, does he want to get the crap kicked out of him? No.
You saw what happened to Brady last season. It was terrible to watch.
I think the inflection point for this whole thing is going to be the draft because I think that Green Bay wants.
They want their. I'm sure that's the sticking point. We want 13. We're not giving you 13. Who's going to blink first? All right, we're talking Jets. Let's go to Ira, Staten Island. Good morning, Ira. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, boys. How are you? And I tell you, you guys do a great job marketing the whipped cream over to Kuiper, but you could somehow mix it together with ESPN. It could be a good marketing thing for the station.
What an idea, Ira. What a novel idea,
Ira,
that is.
It's funny that you mentioned something like that. It'd also be nice if we got the shirt that was sent to us.
I think you're supposed to get it today.
Some reads.
Well, I think it's a no-brainer. But at the end of the day, listen, first of all, with the Beckham deal, I don't know about 3 years, 30, but I think 2 years, 20 with 12 guaranteed. I think that's fair, whichever team wants to give it to him. With Kuiper, you're right, Rick. That and Dave, that 13th pick, it's priceless. I'm not moving this, no way, because if you give up a second-round pick, and if Douglas feels he could trade back, you could recoup maybe a third, and this way you're not taking a hit on giving up a second-round pick. The key here right now is getting a center, Jones, I think from Tennessee, because the only centers right now are really projected late first round, beginning second round. And if you give away you don't have that pick, you're not going to be able to draft a center until
I'd rather a veteran center anyway, Ira.
Yeah, especially with Aaron Rodgers. So do that. And then with that rankings, what you were talking about, listen, Dave, I think you guys don't understand me. I'm not afraid of getting hurt if the Jets don't make it. That's not the issue. I'm just trying to look at this as a football fan. And it's hard to fathom. I know how great Aaron Rodgers is. But to go from losing the last six games of the season, and then all of a sudden you're the fourth or fifth best team in the league, I'm thrilled about it. But we all know, we've talked about it, they still have a lot of work to do before you want to rank them fourth or fifth team in this league.
I don't agree with you, Ira. I've said it before. I mean, if you add Rodgers and you keep that 13th pick and you shore up this offensive line, what is the lot of work you have to do?
Well, you have to see how the pieces fit.
Okay,
I
fine.
It didn't look great in Tampa, and then they figured it out.
All right, well, I'm not saying it has to look great week one, week three, but by the end of the season, I expect it to be clicking on all cylinders. Okay. I expect the Jets to be a real threat. I don't understand what losing the last six games of last year has anything to do with anything.
Well, because it doesn't feel like they're on the precipice of taking that step to the Super Bowl.
But you played with guys that aren't even going to be taking snaps.
Yeah, I get it, but it's hard to fathom.
Okay. I think it's hard to fathom because you're a Jets fan.
No. I think there's also the question. I mean, you have an unproven head coach. Coaching matters.
Yes.
You have, I mean, how much do you like Nathaniel Hackett? I know Aaron Rodgers loves him, but how does everyone else like him? Because it didn't seem like anyone in Denver liked him.
Well, Rodgers loves him, and that's really all that matters, no?
Well, no. I think it also matters how everyone else responds to the offense, too.
Everyone's going to buy in. These guys are going to be so excited to have Aaron Rodgers and think they have a chance to do big things.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We are a week from Thursday away from the start of Major League Baseball. Yankees lineup today. Guess who's hitting 5th and playing shortstop for the Yankees today?
Anthony Volpe.
Batting 5th and playing shortstop for the Yankees today. And they have, I mean, it looks like a Major League lineup. Like LeMahieu, Judge, Gleyber, Donaldson, and Volpe, then Calhoun, kind of for left foot, Trevino, and Severino on the mound. I think I'm swaying towards believing he's going to be on the team to start the season.
I'm telling you what, man. As soon as I started hearing that veteran players in the locker room were calling for him to be on the team, I mean, that changes things. They all understand what the pressure is going to be like on them this year. They're trying to win a championship.
They all
want the best team, the best guys on the field to do that. And if they're all convinced that this is the guy, then you got to find a way to get him on the 40 and make it work. It felt like it was going to be Peraza just because, I mean, Peraza had the experience from last year.
He
was on the 40-man already. It wasn't going to be IKF. It was going to be one of those guys.
Well, they told you last year in the postseason it wasn't going to be IKF.
Right.
It couldn't be.
Well, yeah, and all of a sudden he's playing center. He's playing outfield and everything else. They're going to use him if they don't trade him as a utility player. But his skill set, I mean, for what this team needs, I know Peraza is considered the more refined defensive shortstop, but, I mean, Volpe's ability to steal bases and everything else.
That's right.
You don't really have anything like that.
And base stealing is going to be, I mean, the guys with speed, it will be, maybe not a ton, but it's going to be a little easier because the bags are bigger. So you're going to have to go less distance.
Well, yeah, but you see, I mean, to have the threat of doing it.
Right. And how many guys, listen, Judge could steal a base, but how many, you're not going to send Judge all the time.
No.
How many realistically base stealers do the Yankees have on this team?
Bader, maybe?
Bader, definitely.
But that's it.
Definitely.
But that's it. I mean, it's not Rizzo.
Rizzo's the opposite. Rizzo, it doesn't have much speed whatsoever.
It's not Hicks.
Not Donaldson. It's not Hicks. It's not whoever's going to be catching, right? It's not Stanton. Really, in fact, the Yankees don't have a lot of speed. They're not built to be a team that has a lot of speed. Volpe changes that dynamic a lot.
Right. Dude, I love watching him play, man. I'm rooting for the kid. I mean, even to the little things, too. Like when he met... Who was it that he met for the
Pinella,
first time?
Pinella, I think.
And he took his hat off to shake his hand.
Respectful, because he gets it. He gets it.
That's a big deal.
Did I tell you, so he played with the Hudson Valley Renegades a couple years ago, and we went to the game, because we're friendly with the manager, who then was with Somerset last year and moved on to be a defensive coordinator within the system now. And we went to the game, and our friend brought us onto the field, introduced Ben to Volpe. And Volpe was so nice and so like you could see that it wasn't forced. Like, he's just a good, nice kid. And he was talking to Ben and he's like, what kind of glove do you use? And he's like, I use the Wilson. Is it the A20?
No, not the A20. The A2.
Oh,
there's an A2. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's like, I use the Wilson A2, and Volpe's like, I use the same exact one. And they were like bonding over that. But it's just, it's cool to see a kid who's like that, so he can interact with a kid that he doesn't know. He can interact and be respectful with Lou Piniella, right? By the way, guess how many bases he stole last year?
50.
How do you know that? RJ, did you just tell him that?
I'm going to tell you how he knows it.
How did he know it?
And it's troubling why you don't.
Oh, no. It was in the rundown?
Oh,
no. Was it? You know what? I've used my rundown sheet for
That counts as a shot, by the way.
For the standings on who's made the most nasty comments, though.
Totally counts as one.
So I provide you with the rundown scrap paper.
Well, I guess in some ways, yes. But that's not a nasty comment.
Write one down for yourself.
No. Why? I didn't say anything nasty.
You acted nasty.
Did you hear what he said, RJ? Did he hear what he said about your beautiful rundown? What he's using? No, but I'm using it to keep the score for who says nasty things.
That's right. And right now, Rick has four nasty things.
You're either taking a shot at Rick or you're taking a shot at RJ.
No, I'm not taking a shot at either. I'm saying that this. Look, I'll show you. I'm holding it up. There's the rundown right in front of you. Back of the rundown, there's the score sheet.
You accused Rick either of only knowing it because RJ got in his ear. Either that, or you just completely disregarded RJ's rundown and you didn't see the information that
in
was
all
there.
Honesty,
Rick,
in
Rick
all
did
honesty,
his homework.
No, yeah, but in all honesty, I knew that before RJ put it on the rundown.
So look, even
I
better. Big timing, RJ.
Better.
So you think right here, right now, in front of God and everybody, you think you're better than RJ?
Rick does his homework.
No, but I keep bringing up his skill set, his ability to run and everything else. So obviously I did the research to see how many bases he stole, and RJ reinforced it today when he put it in the rundown.
50. That's a lot of stolen bases. I get it. It's not the same level of catcher you're going to face in the big leagues, but 50 stolen bases probably translates at least you'd think to 25 at the big league level.
It's a threat you don't have. It's another element you don't have,
right,
that you could use. And on top of that, I mean, they're trying to incentivize you now with the rule changes to be able to steal more bases. So why not take advantage of it?
I don't like the Yankees. I think that's been pretty well known. I hope he makes the team, and I hope he does well. We could use an infusion of an exciting young player here in New York.
You need it. You absolutely need it. And by the way, do we have time right now? What time do we go off?
Listen, all we have is time. Go ahead.
No, because I don't want to get yelled at about the clock.
You're not going to get yelled at. Go ahead.
I'm so sick of this narrative that all the guys playing in the WBC don't care about winning World Series. It drives me crazy.
Well, here's the thing, and I will say this. I agree with you 100%. Stop saying that you care about the World Baseball Classic more than you care about the World Series.
Some of them do. Not every player has said that. I mean, there were players on the Dominican team that said, I care more about they hoed and hummed about it, but they look at this. They look at the WBC.
Hoed and hummed.
What am I supposed to say? Hummed and hoed?
Yeah, I think so.
Whatever it was. Yeah,
hemmed and hawed.
Damn it. Yeah, you're right.
What are you calling the hoe for?
I don't know where I got the hoe from.
Everyone knows what he's trying to say.
You know.
All right, go ahead.
I went
hoe
instead of him.
Go ahead.
No, but those guys, they're playing for their country. For anyone that's ever played for their country, it's a huge deal. I don't care if it's a world championship or World Cup. If you think this is just an exhibition, you have your country's name on the front of your jersey.
Well,
what's the
Olympics? What's the Olympics?
But people don't look at this like the Olympics.
But it's an exhibition. What's the World Cup in soccer? It's an exhibition.
You're preaching to the choir.
So I don't understand. Now, I will say this. I agree with you. I think that it matters and it should matter. Did you see the scene last night? I was glued to Japan and Mexico ninth inning. It was 5-3, the score run in the eighth. Otani leads off in the ninth, crushes a double.
Yep.
You know, then there's a walk, then there's a game-winning double. It was absolutely exciting, and I think tonight's going to be pandemonium down there in Miami. So I don't understand why you have to you know, and I don't mean you because you obviously don't feel like this, have to put your feet in the mud and stand this ground of, no, it's either you pick the World Series or you pick the World Baseball Classic. Why can't both be great? What is happening now is it's great. It is absolutely great.
Why can't you do both, though? Dude, we stop the season so we can go play in the Olympics. It's a big deal. Just because you don't play in it or never had the opportunity to do something like it, don't denigrate it. They have the chance to do both. This is a Major League Baseball event. It's the union in Major League Baseball. They're trying to promote the game, so they want the best players playing in it. And you get to play. I mean, there's something to be said, man. I don't care if it's an exhibition or not, about being able to represent your country.
You watched the game last night, right?
Well, here's the other thing, though, too, Dave. Oh, of course, I was glued to it.
It was thrilling.
Yeah, but we all watched the Olympics. You don't think that all the baseball players, that they've never watched the Olympics, and be like, yo, could you imagine if I got a chance to play for my country?
That's what this is. Have you ever watched Olympic baseball? It's awful. It's not good baseball.
I can't tell you how many times I would say that. I used to pretend I was playing for Team USA in the driveway, and then all of a sudden, being in the NHL, NHL guys weren't playing. I was like, oh, this stinks. I'll never get to play in the Olympics. And then all of a sudden, NHL guys could play in it, and I was like, finally.
That's right. But I don't understand why. I don't think they should say it, because I think it diminishes, in some people's minds, the World Series. But the fact that they care so much, I think, is kind of a great thing, not a negative thing.
Right. I mean, we keep talking about, all these guys are playing just for the money. Well, no, they're not. Not now, they're not.
That's right.
And you're holding it against them because they're not getting paid to do this?
But because people are always miserable. They always find a way to be miserable.
But Major League Baseball is still benefiting from it financially. Players just aren't getting paid for it.
I think it's great. I think it's great. And I'll tell you what, another thing, I can't wait for the game tonight. I think this is do you see what they said? They said they're going to pitch Ohtani late game to try to close it out. Could you imagine Ohtani and Trout matching up in the late stage of this game tonight?
It would be awesome.
It would be awesome.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Have you seen the Kevin Harlan video of the Furman, Virginia call?
I did.
It's very funny.
Is that the one where he's got his arms out holding the back so they don't ruin the call?
Yeah, exactly that. Kay would be very proud. Yeah, he's screaming and puts his arms in front of Stan Van Gundy and I guess is it Dan Bonner? Is that his name? So they don't say anything and step on his call.
And his headset falls off. He was fired up.
He was very fired. Listen, it was an amazing end to the game.
It was, it was a huge choke job, but yeah, it was an amazing end.
But still an
I'm
amazing
playing
end.
I'm for RJ in the room right now.
Did you see? So the kid on Furman hits the three, and his head rolls back, and then arms, like a conductor, like his arms go out, like, okay, this section, you be quiet. Now you go softly, you play. Like, it's unbelievable.
Stan Van Gundy has no idea what to do.
Stan Van Gundy's face, he's like, what is happening?
You keep your mouth shut, Stan.
Yeah.
That's what I work for, moment.
I implore you to watch it. It is a phenomenal video.
Do not screw this up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I love the outstretched arms.
You imagine if that was Dave Maloney?
No, Dave Maloney would power right through it. He doesn't care. You think outstretched arms are going to stop Dave Maloney?
No. He would have been on Harlan's headset.
Yeah, I know better. I know better.
You guys don't even try to slow down Maloney, right?
Yeah. Why would I? And I'm not one of those people who thinks
it's... A long-distance shot is saved by Fleury, and the rebound gets kicked away.
I'm not one of those people who thinks it's terrible. I think it adds to the broadcast.
That was an overtime call.
I enjoy it.
Yeah!
That was an overtime call, Raymond?
Yeah.
Which one? That one,
the
I can't...
The long-distance shot is saved by Fleury, and the rebound gets kicked away. And then Pouliot with the rebound scores in overtime.
What? That was the year they beat Pittsburgh.
Why did he just scream, yeah?
He's into it, man. He's a former captain.
I get that, but see, you're defensive of him.
Yeah.
And I think it's nice.
Yeah.
But what is he screaming for in the middle of Don's call?
I kind
of
like it, though. I don't know if the play-by-play guys like it.
There's an atmosphere on that entire bridge of anybody that's connected to the team. Like everyone is so invested of what's going on down there on the ice, and honestly, I love it. Every second of it.
So... You would never have the talk with Dave of like, Dave, listen, when a big moment happens...
I don't think it's necessary.
Maybe you just say that because it's what he does.
Well, again, he's been doing it way longer than I've been up there.
So you feel like it's not really your place to sit him down and say, Dave, maybe the screaming and the antics...
I'm saying even if it was, I don't feel that way. I really don't. I like it.
I think that you feel like that because it's Dave Maloney and you like him so much. I think if somebody else started doing that... if they came on board and started doing that, I think you'd say, listen, we don't do that.
Well, then that person's not Dave Maloney.
Well, yeah, they don't have the built-up equity that Dave
does. That's exactly right. So Maloney gets away with it because he has built-up equity.
Well, he's built up equity, but also, like I said, he's part of that organization going back however many years.
We're 40 years.
Good example is John Wallace on the Knicks broadcast. John Wallace, to steal a phrase from Chris Canty, he's got blood in the ground in Madison Square Garden. He's invested it, and it's different when he's calling it than when, like Allen or Wally are calling for the Knicks. It's completely different. He's put the uniform on.
Wow.
He's bled blood there.
So what does that mean? If you put the uniform on, you can interrupt the voice of whatever team you're talking about.
I don't see it as interrupting. I see it as enhancing.
Okay.
So basically what you just said is that Allen has no blood in the ground at the Garden.
Not literal.
So you're not literal. You're not a Han guy then is what you're saying. Wow. That's what it sounds like to me. Like you're saying you think Wallace better, more invested than Han.
Wally actually berated me yesterday.
Why?
Because I was giving him and John Giannone some stats.
Uh-huh.
And right before Julius had set the Knicks record for points in a quarter, I gave it in their headset. And when we went to break, he goes, "You are just like Han. You are just like Han." He's like, you're giving me the stat beforehand. Like, I was expecting him to miss both those free throws and just destroy the record right then and there. Like, then
he thought you were going to jinx it?
He thought I was going to jinx it. He goes, "You're just like," literally his words, "You're just like Han."
Wally Szczerbiak, Miami of Ohio, by the way.
Nice job.
Thank you.
He did appreciate the stat, though. He did love it.
I'm sure he did. Do you ever give those guys critique? Listen, you stink with this. Can you get a little better with this? Or this has to improve at all?
I critique. I don't tell guys they stink.
No.
It's not my style.
What's your style?
So you're much more respectful to them than to us then?
It's a different atmosphere. They're not complete animals to me over there.
So I see how it works. So to us, you would get right in our face and just, you did this poorly and you're not good with this.
Have you listened to yourself on this program? You keep a running list.
Excuse me, Wallace.
You now keep a running list of shots that are taken on this show by everybody.
And Rick is leading, and you have one also.
That's not a problem that I face over there.
See, what they do is that when you leave and you go to get a hot dog in between periods, then they take shots at you. We just do it when you're here with us.
Yeah, to your face.
That's right, because we're real men.
You don't go behind your back while you're eating a hot dog.
Neither of you are in my face right now. Neither of you.
How many hot dogs do you eat a game?
Actually, I don't eat hot dogs anymore.
No?
Are you a popcorn guy?
Big popcorn guy.
You like the popcorn?
Big popcorn guy.
Mm-hmm. The popcorn is delicious.
MSG popcorn is elite.
It is delicious. So very good. Salty, though.
It's delicious. They didn't have any in the suite when we went to that event.
But you went and bought some.
Yeah, but I mean, isn't the expectation that they're going to, the popcorn is to die for, that it would be in the...
I don't know. I had a great time, is all I know. Let's go to some of the World Baseball Classic calls. Mike in Miami. Hi, Mike. You're on 98.7.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
We're getting along, Mike. What do you got?
I woke up and bought tickets to the World Baseball Classic final today. I think it's absolutely going to be electric. I think playing for your country is awesome. And the scene last night was reason alone to go. Not talking Jets today. All I got is WBC. I'm an O's fan.
Listen, I completely agree with you.
I would do the same thing.
I think it's awesome. And you know, when will that park ever have that kind of vibe again? It never will.
It probably won't.
I mean, when the Marlins start, the first weekend they'll be good because it's the Mets for four, right? So that'll be exciting for then. And then starting the next week, they'll have 10, 12, 14,000 a game for the rest of the season.
They make a whole day out of it. You take today off. You go. I mean, you could do all sorts of day drinking in Miami.
But he lives in Miami. Do you really need to take the day off to do day drinking?
Well, yeah, I would. Yeah, I would make a whole event of today.
Yeah, but you don't live there. So if you live there, if the finals were here, you would take the day off?
Yeah, wouldn't you want to have a nice, I mean, if the weather was beautiful out, we have a nice show outing, have some drinks, some lunch.
It does sound nice.
Well, we don't really have to because we're done at 10 anyway.
Right. That does sound nice, though.
Doesn't it sound nice?
Yeah. Can you imagine being down there? The warmth of Florida. Maybe you have lunch on a boat.
I don't think you need to have lunch on a boat.
I think we would have a great time on a boat.
Yeah, but I mean, there's so many other places. Go hang at, I mean, oh, at the Cleveland. I mean, there's plenty of places to go. Go by your favorite spot, 11, for a couple.
Not familiar with 11. Is it good? What is that? Is that
and welcome aboard.
A casino? What do they do at 11? It's like you get the 11, then you double down.
You're so lucky that we're not on television.
Why?
the face you just made.
I have a beautiful face. I'm not familiar with 11.
Okay.
It sounds great, though.
Yeah, you
I like
it.
A gambling establishment. ESPN New York, along with our partner London Jewelers,
there's no gambling there,
are giving you the chance to be in Cleveland when the boys from the Bronx come to town, including round trip airfare, 2-night hotel stay, and $200 in spending money. Head to a London Jewelers near you to enter for your chance to win. You can also go to travelwiththehometeam.com or enter on the ESPN New York app. It's all brought to you by the engagement experts at London Jewelers. Visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the newest location at the mall at Short Hills. For full contest rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com. I know you'll be watching it tonight. How badly do you want Team USA to win tonight?
Badly.
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 Okay. Would you mortgage Jets game 6 right now for Team USA to win tonight?
Jets game 6?
Yeah.
What's my start in the first 5?
I don't know. But you're like more
4-1?
They lose maybe 4-1, 5-0, 3-2, yeah. I don't know. But whatever it is, game 6 is a loss. But Team USA on a walk-off tonight.
On a walk-off?
On a walk-off.
Oh god.
Trout into the gap off Ohtani. Walk-off 2-run score. Team USA wins.
Why can't it be a Met?
All right. Jeff McNeil walks off against Ohtani.
It's a time. Why do you ask me questions like this? You know this is a tough question for me.
I know, but it makes it fun and
yes.
entertaining.
Yes.
You would do it.
Yep.
I would.
Yeah, I want Team USA to win.
I would never, never. RJ, right now, Niners lose the 6th game of the season. Team USA wins tonight. You do it?
It's a walk-off.
It's a walk-off.
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Yeah, because we love our country.
You did more than I do. Raymond, yep. Do you do it? Cowboys lose game 6.
Yeah, game 6. Yeah, go for it.
Really? And USA walks off tonight.
He wasn't rooting for USA, though. He was rooting for Puerto Rico and Dominican
Republic.
Well,
but now, I'm sure he's not rooting for Japan.
He can't root for 3 teams.
He's got a lot of teams.
I root for what's convenient, okay?
What does that mean?
I root for the WBC success. That's what I root for.
It's had tremendous success. So you would give up. I imagine you're rooting for Team USA tonight, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So would you give up the 6th game of the year, Cowboys lose it, whoever it is, maybe it's the Giants, we don't know.
That would suck.
No, that would be a shame for you. But Team USA wins tonight, walk off.
Yeah, it'd be good for the WBC and maybe, you know. I feel like the Edwin Diaz screamers have kind of quieted down a little bit. So.
I would wear a Japanese flag draped on my body for the Giants to win that game 6
wow.
right now.
Wow. Get this man a flag. Get this man a flag.
That's exactly what I would do. And I'd like to see Team USA win, but not if the sacrifice.
Dave Rothenberg of the Rising Sun.
That's right. Come on, Harry Carey for the Giants to win this game tonight.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.